See. Welcome, welcome to another episode of the Sex and Horror Podcast with authors Dicey Grinner and
Chantal Renee.
Yay! Thank you all for joining us. We have some reviews for you tonight because we have been watching the hell out of stuff. I just kind of needed a mental break, so that's what I do. And that's kind of the truth, but also I couldn't wait to watch The Idea of You and Tarot. So, you know, whether I needed a mental break or not, I was going to stop what I was doing to go to see The Idea of You on Prime and to go to the theater to see Tarot. Now, Chantel got dragged into seeing The Idea of You. And she probably didn't like that as much as Tarot. So we're going to see how far we can get with our discussion on The Idea of You. And if it ends up being long, because I'm long-winded, I know she won't be, then we'll come back and do the second portion with Tarot, because I have a lot to say about both.
Okay.
So The Idea of You. Now, at first, I'm like, this doesn't really, you know, this isn't really sex and horror, but Baby Reindeer is not really horror either, but there are a lot of elements that we could pull out, you know, like the stalking and the essay, I mean, you know, the sexual abuse. I forget, I toned my wording for TikTok, and I forget on here, I can say sexual abuse, you know, so anyway, but... And then I read this, and I sent this to you, but I read this from Nicholas Galitzine, the actor that is in The Idea of You. And he said, and this is a British actor, he said, this movie is about the importance of depicting female pleasure and sexuality. He emphasized the need to break down stigmas surrounding women's desires and to portray healthy, consensual relationships on screen. The film explores themes of intimacy, power dynamics, and exploring one's sexuality, sparking important conversations about female pleasure and agency. I think some of that is off of Google, but his part is about how it's important to see female pleasure on screen. And I was like, yeah, it is important. That's us. That's what we talk about. That's us. So,
yeah.
I'm drawn to rom-coms, as we've talked about before. I'm a romantic at heart. I don't believe in romantic love the way I used to because of personal reasons, but I'm still going to watch them because I love it. So, this one, first of all, Chantel, did you like it or not?
It was okay. I certainly would not have watched it if you hadn't had me watch it.
Yeah. So are you just strictly a horror girl? Like,
no. This is the thing with romance movies. It's always this really petite, perfect girl, no matter her age, and this really handsome, fit guy, no matter his age. And they get together, then they can't be together. Then they get together again, then they can't be together. And then if it's a, you know, a typical movie, at the end they end up together. You know, so even when they don't do the typical trope, it's still the perfect looking 1% humans. And I get it. You know, I get that Hollywood thinks that's what we all want to see. But it's kind of like, I mean, even with, you brought up Baby Reindeer. Even with Baby Reindeer, the romance part of it was with a perfectly proportioned, very pretty trans woman. That the love, the good love was there from. And actually, even the first girlfriend, you know what I mean? But the most rational of the love was coming from the trans that he was with. That was when he fell head over heels with. So I'm just kind of like, okay, another example of this pretty woman thing going on. Except, you know, no one's a prostitute, but then again, some people are kind of like prostitutes when you're being whisked away across the countries and paid everything and, you know, all the outfits being bought. I'm like, this is just Pretty Woman again without the standing on the street corner.
Fair enough. I see your point. You make a good point. I can see that. Yeah. That is kind of what, if I'm being honest, maybe that's kind of what draws me. Like, I am wanting to see that, you know, because I only think of romantic love in the sense of fantasy now. You know, it is like being able to watch a fantasy is the reason why I read romance novels, and I always have. You know, I've been reading romance novels since the Harlequin books when I was in my teens, you know. So it is, even though it's not real life to me, it is kind of the thing that helps me to feel the fantasy, even if I don't really believe in it in real life. So that's kind of the draw. That's why the romance is so popular.
And you see, and that's where I disagree so much with romance. Because I want to see a different type of romance. I want to see more real life romance. But the thing with the romance that these things are portraying, these are just other ways to entrap women into thinking so that they behave like a man wants them to, because the possibility of this grand romance always lives in us thinking, oh, is this the one? Is this the one? And so that's kind of why I'm over things like this. You know what I mean? Like, this kind of world, this kind of romance, this kind of relationship, this kind of, you know, oh, breathtaking, you know, we can't sleep a wink without thinking about each other, happens when you're a teenager. And majority of women, never have that romance fulfilled, because when you do fall in love with somebody at that age, it's always the wrong somebody and they don't reciprocate. And if they do, once they get in your pants, they don't reciprocate anymore. So, you know, it's, I know I'm being extremely cynical, but at the same time, it's kind of like, come on, Hollywood, you can do better. And I love Anne Hathaway. Do not get me wrong. She's beautiful. I love her as an actress. It is not her fault that they're regurgitating this and sticking her in this role, because the idea of this 25-year-old with this 40-year-old is such a hot topic right now. I'm just like, what 40-year-old looks like that? Like, literally 1% of all the women in the world.
All right. I get your point. I get your point. But there were other things that you could take from this. So if we remove the cynical hat for a minute, I just had a friend who just had the same age spread marry a guy. And they are in their honeymoon. You know, like, they are living the fantasy and the romance right now. So it can happen. But I agree with you that sometimes it sends the message like, all you got to do is hold on and it's coming for you. And it kind of puts a hope out there that sometimes is unattainable for most women. But so I see your point. So let's remove the cynical hat for a minute and think about what could be from the movie. What other things people could get from the movie? You know what I mean? So for one, there is life after 40. So for a lot of women, I see online all the time, people are struggling and wondering, like, is a guy going to want me because I have kids or because I'm over 40 or because whatever, a number of reasons. And, you know, a movie like this could give them hope if they needed the hope. It could be false hope. I get that. Get your point. But I'm just talking about, you know, like I said, my friend just did it. So there are stories like that happening. So this movie could give people hope, like, it's not the end of the world just because you're 40. And even I know, like, in my personal life, the older men might be checking for all the young girls, because that's usually what happens all the time. But I'm telling you, baby, the young ones are the most aggressive with me. When I was in Vegas, I got in an elevator and this guy came in there and he was trying to talk me up and all that. And I was like, how old are you? He said 19. And I was like, you are older. I'm old enough to be your mom. He was like, and you know what I'm saying? So they are pretty aggressive. And if someone, you know, was to think my life is over at 40, this is an example of, no, you have options. You just stop limiting yourself. Stop thinking of a particular demographic for age or race. You know, there's, you can open yourself up to other options instead of thinking that your particular love has to be in a box. Like it has to be this or there's something wrong. Obviously, as always, we are talking about consensual adults on here, okay? I am not talking about, yes, I've written a book, Shameful, for those of you who know about that book. That guy is 16. There are some legality issues with that. I'm not talking about anywhere that's illegal, because some places that's not illegal. You understand that, okay? But I'm talking about from a legal standpoint, we are talking about consenting adults. Yes, Anne Hathaway is gorgeous. So that's something to consider. Like you said, you know, Anne can pull anybody, any man.
Well, the thing too was this guy was a megastar. So, you know, that was something you got to consider. A lot of people like, oh, maybe the rich guy, like the, you know, Richard Gere in Pretty Woman. Oh, he might look at the people that they chose to be with. So you got to always consider that. Like you're over 40 fling maybe with Bubba who lives in the trailer park. I don't know. But remember I said fling. Don't keep him around. Look at. I'm just saying, I have a friend that married a guy 15 years younger than her too. They are now divorced and he cheated on her with a young woman.
Yeah.
You remember this, and I'm just going to say this, I'm dying on this hill. Ladies, when you're over 40, you don't have as much time to waste as a man who's in his 20s.
They all cheat, which I'm is why saying. you should go for money. Don't even worry about the romance part. You should make sure that you are able to live the lifestyle you want to live, because you'll be after 40 sitting up there being like, oh, I married for love, and then that motherfucker's cheating. And
bro, that's what happens.
Like that's like the worst. But okay, so Anne is gorgeous. Now let me talk about Nicholas for a second. As soon as I saw the trailer for this movie months ago, I was like, oh yeah, I gotta watch that. And my friend and I both were like, yeah, we gotta watch that. So she's playing someone 40 and she's actually 41. He's playing someone 24 and I think he's actually 29. He is the hot guy right now. I first saw him in Purple Hearts a few years ago. There's a Purple Hearts 2 coming out. He's also in Mary and George. That I just saw. That's with Julianne Moore. I really enjoy it. It is very LGBTQ+ friendly. It is. He was also in The Craft, Legacy, Bottoms, Cinderella, Red, White, and Royal Blue. I mean, everywhere right now. And he is. I like this actor because he is not, I haven't seen, well, I mean, I don't know what scripts he gets, but from what I see, he doesn't have a problem taking on challenging roles. These roles have him going and doing all sorts of things, and he seems to jump headfirst in it, and that's to be applauded. I always love that. This particular character, from what I understand, was inspired by Harry Styles. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and okay. It's based on a book. And from what I understand, the ending was different. And from what I know about the ending of that book, I'm very glad that it ended this way. So spoiler alert, I'm about to go in and spoil some things for anybody that's watching. Okay, let me just go in the order that I got it written here because I got notes. One of the main things that really, really pissed me off, but I thought was very realistic, was how her life was so different and how she had to sacrifice and the husband that cheated on her didn't. So her husband cheated on her, got a whole nother young woman, broke the family up. They done went and got married. He's cheating with somebody he works with. And she is, you know, having to deal with the heartbreak from that situation. She meets this guy. She has this budding romance with him. And then because he's a star, it affects the daughter. Because it affects the daughter, I felt so pissed off with the daughter for not being a little more understanding. Why does mom have to wait 5 years to experience the same love, you know, to experience love. Dad didn't have to wait. He could just go out and just start over, just do whatever he wants to do. But mom is the default parent, having to put her life on hold until everybody else is happy and well. And that really pissed me off, but it happens all the time. You know what I'm saying? You know the part I'm talking about?
I do. And that is part of this, I think, what they're trying to show is the frustration of that situation.
What's the double standard there?
Yes. Yeah. And I mean, I feel like as parents, they should have both chose the child over their own pleasure. But of course, you know, I don't think that his choice to be with the younger woman was something that the daughter didn't not appreciate. Like, it definitely affected her relationship with him. And of course, the younger woman ends up leaving his dumbass anyway. But, you know, she was immature, you know. Yeah. I think this is the thing, like, when our children get older, it's easy to think they're more adult because we can look them in the eye. You know what I mean? It's easier to think that they're more mature because they can have a conversation. But this child's emotional intelligence was not developed. And so when a boy she likes said to her, you know, something stupid about the boyfriend that the mom's with, it really hit her in a way that was like shocking, and she didn't know how to deal with it because she is still a child. And so women in society, we innately know this because we were once those children. And so as unfair as it was to do, she had to do what she had to do. And because I was partially raised by a woman who chose herself over her daughters, I can understand that was a sacrifice she had to make, because she would have never been okay with not making that sacrifice because she was a good person. However, does it mean it's okay that the father did that? Of course not. And that, I think, was the point of what they were trying to say in that, with that situation, was look at this bullshit. This is still bullshit. And this is still how society thinks.
Yeah. And the way that they treated the daughter was not good. Okay. That was bad. And she was having a very difficult time. I just got really I was really irritated with her deciding to go stay with dad after the bullshit he put them through. You know, like, how are you going to make that choice? But you're right. She is a child, and she's only thinking about herself at that point. She's a teen. And of course,
you don't even know she was thinking about herself. I just don't think she had the maturity to understand how to. Yeah.
Mom is going to be the responsible one there, regardless of what everybody else is doing.
Yeah, unfortunately. And you know what? Honestly, with the situation that the guy was in, the rock star, he was having all those young women throwing themselves at him. He was, you know, he would. It was really knowing, being a female, knowing that you're meeting this person in their mid-20s. You know, it does feel like how superficial.
Uh-oh, you frozen? I hope it's picking you up.
I don't know if anybody can hear me.
Okay, I can see you now. It froze for a minute.
No, I was just saying, you know, I'm sure in her mind, she was just like, how deep could his love possibly be running? And that little bit of break, you know, was something she needed too. With him, I think. Not that she didn't want to have that excitement and that fulfillment with him, but I think she was really second guessing that he could truly feel what he said he was feeling for her at his age.
Yeah, that's true. That was a good thing. The break that they had was good for both of them. You know, it's I had the feeling like with Love Jones, the thing that always bothered me about Love Jones and even Love and Basketball is that there's a break in there. Like, it's like the people love each other, they want to be together, but then they break and then time has passed and then they come back together. But sometimes that is probably good, you know, that way you know that it's real, you know, that whole you let it go, if it comes back, then it's real. But I'm the kind of person, once it's gone, it's gone. Like, there ain't no coming back. Like, you're gone. I don't circle the block. So so this movie wasn't just about an age gap romance, but it was about a pop star and like a normal everyday person, which, you know, was a whole nother level to this too, that made it much more dramatic. So it wasn't just their age, but then they had to deal with one being famous, the cameras followed them everywhere, there's no privacy, and then her being a mother with children, and they, to her still having to interact. And so that added a whole nother level of frustration to their relationship that they had to overcome in order to be together. So the 5 years passing did help stabilize that a little bit more. He was not a has-been by that point, but he was a little bit more stable in his career and able to make, it seemed like he had a little bit more control over it. Did you get the feeling that he was a solo artist at that point? He wasn't with,
absolutely. Yeah.
So he had more control over his career and he can make a lot more choices that didn't affect the whole group, and he wasn't hanging out as much with them. He could do his own thing. He can leave and go visit and go back where home when he needed to and all that. So another element to this that I think we love when it comes to romances is these chance encounters. So the chance encounters, I know a lot of people also online.
Meet cute.
The meet cute.
The meet cute.
Yes. So when people just happen to be going about their lives and then they run into the love of their life, that's always a pretty interesting thing too, because you're not going to run into anybody if you're just at home on the couch. Like, the chance of meeting somebody is not going to happen. You got to get out there into the world. And I think also that's a side note here, but I think that's also why men cheat a lot more, because women seem to be at home. When they're home with the kids, and the men are out. They're going to the conferences. They're going to the festivals. They're going to the bars. They're still going right on with their lives. They're still going to their jobs every day, working with everybody, quote unquote, working late and stuff like that. So they still have a whole nother life, and they're out. They're out in the street. They're out hanging out. So they are going to meet more people. They're going to be more available, whereas the mom is at home. And you're not going to have those chance encounters at home. That's another interesting thing. So, Life After 40. I thought that was interesting to see here how she is more stable. And that, I think, kind of brought some stability to his life, because he's traveling all over the place. He's traveling a lot, and she brings like some normalcy. I was wondering though, in an age gap like this, do you feel, since women are so nurturing and they usually take in, you know, we have the empathy and we look after, you know, everybody. Do you think that her bringing that stability with her age, did you get the sense that this is kind of like a mommy situation at all? Did you feel like she was mothering to him? Was she going to be in that role for him?
I don't think I ever saw that. What was silly to me, if somebody was that famous, like he was mega famous, why would he not say, okay, for the year, let's hire a tutor and you guys come stay with me so that your child, you know? And then if she argued, well, I want her to have some normalcy, and he could have said, look, I want her to as well, but this might get over out of control. That could have been lack of his age, and he didn't have the foresight to see that that was a possibility, you know, because there was a lot of things that I felt like, you know, I was expecting him to do, but he didn't think like a normal person. So I never saw her coaching him or mothering him in any way. But then again, I never really saw her having expectations of him that she should have. The bitch's fucking fridge is broken. Why didn't he buy her goddamn fridge? He has all that money? Shit. Instead, he sends her a big expensive painting. Fuck. What real woman wants that shit? Oh, this is great. I'm gonna put my spoiled milk next to the painting. It's gonna look great together.
Well, he called himself. That was a romantic gesture because she said she sees everything in the painting. For those of you just listening and not watching, Chantel is doing the gagging motion. But that was his romantic gesture. She said that she loved the painting. She saw everything in it, and so him buying that for her was like, look, I listened to you, and I got you something that you really wanted. But yeah.
I get that. You know, I mean, it's a rom-com. It's supposed to have the big flowers or whatever, that big emotional moment. I get it. But if she was a real 40-year-old, she'd be like, this is great, but my ham is bad again.
Yeah, that's a good
point. You want another sandwich? You're going to have to buy me a fridge.
I know. Old me, younger me, I mean, like, older years before would have taken the more practical approach. Like, I need a refrigerator. I don't need a painting. This me would be like, he could buy the refrigerator and the painting. Like, one is a romantic gesture and one is practical.
And he was living in the house, you know, what the fuck?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe he did. Maybe off camera that it happened. I don't know.
Back to what you were saying about the daughter traveling with them. I think that does go hand in hand with what I was saying about him having more control over his career later on, because the daughter traveling with them with a tutor when they already had a whole band and their girlfriends, like, that would have been too much. Like, he may not have been able to bring anybody else.
No, I wasn't talking about on tour. I was talking about, he said he had his own place. He bought her a whole fucking museum of art for his place. So that's what I was talking about. And you know, again, I mean, it was good at showing that there's a huge difference in the way a 25-year-old thinks and a 40-year-old thinks. Now, at the moment, she was letting that fantasy play out. She got real into it, showing up in her skimpies for their first fucking session. Like, I got that. She was getting into the role. But girl, like, come on now. Like, this guy's living with you at that point. You know, like, you got to start thinking more practical. Like, I don't know.
You know, this made me miss passion. You know what I'm saying? This particular movie made me miss passion, especially the part I'd have been done for when they were at the piano. And he was sitting down, that's one thing. But when he stood up, girl, that would have been it. That would have been it. That's the end of that. Like, close the cameras, turn the cameras off. It's always amazing to me how actors can perform these roles and then it just be a job and then they just go on about their business. Like,
okay. I get that they were showing his hands moving on her body and changing the lighting and all these things to indicate, you know, the female passion and everything. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I didn't care. No. I was like,
did you see this from the female gaze or did you think this was coming from the male gaze? Like, this was female gaze, right?
I think they try to do both. I think there was definitely a lot of her gaze on it. There was some of his too. In the very beginning, before they started doing the deed, I feel like he was definitely a lot more like gooey, goo-gooed eyed and all that stuff for her. And then, you know, when they started, you know, hooking up and she was going on tour with him and stuff, it was infatuation. I mean, that's pretty much all falling in love is. It's infatuation. I think them taking the break kind of showed that there might have been a little bit more substance behind it, which is, you know, a good sign. However, I'm going to be in agreement with you in real life, taking a break like that, if it's not with a fucking huge rock star for that reason, you're stupid. Don't take a break. Just keep moving on. On my first husband, it was back and forth and back and forth. It was like a fucking seesaw. And you know what? Still divorced his ass. So yeah. I do not recommend going backwards ever.
Typically, whatever you usually break up for is going to be the same thing that you break up for later on. Like, it's the same issue. Now, I will say that whenever I see something like this, any rom-com too, like, okay, yes, I said that I enjoy the fantasy element of it and being in the whole falling in love and the passion and everything. But when the story is over, I do still be like, yeah, but what about in 10 years from now? So, like, in their particular situation, what happens in 10 years when she's 50 and he's 34? Like, is she
still gonna look good, though? However, I will say this for the thin ladies. I love off-size ladies, but when you got a little extra fluff, it hides the wrinkles. So, she's gonna be looking like, you know, she's waving to folks with her skin. Unless he pays for a little bit of nip and tuck for her.
Mm. Well, the good thing is that she's already had one child. Now, we don't know if they have kids. If they have kids, then the dynamics are going to change. Because she could still have some. I've seen it happen. I pray to God she doesn't. But what happens when he wants kids and she doesn't? You know, those are the things that I'm thinking about after the movie's over. Like, hold up. Okay, this is beautiful. It's fine and dandy. It gives women hope for now. But what happens in 10 years, over this 10-year span, when the children come up? Like, even Joe Manganiello and his wife, what's her name? You know her, the Hispanic lady. Joe Manganiello. Oh, that's right. You and names. But yeah. I know whoever's listening and watching this, y'all know exactly who I'm talking about. Sophia Legardo, what's her name? Her last name? Regardo, Regazzo. Y'all know who I'm talking about. Sophia and Joe. They broke up because he wanted kids. Like, you know, that's one of those things where you got to talk about beforehand. We don't know if they do talk about this, but he comes back in 5 years. He has a 45-year-old woman at this point, and he is 29. In the show. But what does he want children? What happens if they are not on the same page with that? So that is my thinking when I watch something like this. It's like, ugh. Also, with this age gap, it may, even if everything is great between the two of you, or even with the paparazzi, everything, if you can find your peace and happiness with just the two of you, the circles are an issue. So just like when they were laying around the beach and his friends, his bandmates start yapping, like, oh my God, I would have been so disgusted, so irritated with the youngness of it all. Everybody talking and yapping and it sounds so young. And so I would have been so irritated with that. And that's the sort of thing you'd have to deal with. Even if you all can find common ground between the two of you, what about when you get ready to go to his family events or his friends' events or stuff? You, when you start merging households and you got different circles, you know, that's when it starts getting interesting.
I mean, in Sex and the City, there was an episode where Carrie was remembering, she was in her 30s, and she was kind of reliving the days of the 20-year-old guy. And she's like, the best thing about him is they love to make out. So she was like making out with this guy all over fucking town. Finally, she decides to go home with him. She wakes up the next morning and she's like, oh, that was so great. You know, like, he had stamina. He hit all the right spots. She gets up and climbs out of his bed and immediately realizes she is in a room, like a dorm room. It is like fucking pizza everywhere, empty beer cans, men all over the place, dirty underwear, a sink full of dishes. And she's like, I just realized what I also don't like about 20-year-old me.
Yeah, exactly. So there are some other things, and there's going to be some times he's going to want to hang out all night because he's got that energy, and she's going to be like, you know what, I got to go home and go to bed. Look, my husband's 6 years younger than me. We went to, and we're 20 years in this, so we this is not our story, but okay. So we went to, we've been doing all kinds of galas and stuff, but we went to one of his frats gala. They're celebrating their 50th year for that chapter. And I was up on my heels all night. I thought I was doing the damn thing, and I was doing it big, but my knees and my ankles had swollen up so bad after being on my heels that I was like, whew. So around 1:30, I was like, oh, at least I made it, getting in the car, I'm about to go home. And he's like, well, we're going to make another stop. And we went to a hotel to hang out with more of his frat and his friends. And I didn't get into bed till 4:30. Do you know what I did the next day? Sleep. All day. He got up and went to church. He went all day long. It didn't faze him. It didn't faze him at all. Me, I was down for the count all day, all night, all day. So, you know, that's the thing that I'm thinking about when I see these two. I'm thinking, honey, when y'all really get into the thick of this, that age is going to come out. If not right now at your age, in 10 years, if y'all planning to do this long term, there's going to be an issue. But
you can be, ladies, if you're over 40, over 45, and especially if you're hitting 50, you already know. You ain't going to be able to hang. You already know that body is like, I don't think so.
Girl, and one of them's wives was already in the bed. She's like, I'm not coming. Like, when we went and just sat around, we were just talking. But, girl, I felt it. And I'm not drinking. I don't even drink anymore. I was not drinking, but I felt like I had been drinking all night. So that's going to be interesting. I'd like a part two of this film because I want to see what happens.
What happens when the titties are lower and the girls are walking around in those bikinis like. I heard a term that made me laugh this weekend. Actually, I heard there's such a thing as single men and Houston single men. Have you heard this term?
No.
So Houston single is if it's available and nobody's looking, then okay, I'll take some.
That makes sense, yeah. But okay, so Anne, you know, she's probably going to be still working out. She's still going to be thin. She's still going to look great, but she ain't going to have the energy. Sorry.
Nope. And he's going to be bored.
But I will say this. Everybody, all relationships are going to get to that point, or most, you know, probably more than not is what I mean. Nothing is 100%. Nothing is, absolute, but more than likely at some point in every relationship, it'll get to that point. So in that regard, they stand just as much a chance as anybody else of making it. So my last point, was about this movie showing, the pop star and everything, right? And I have met a lot of celebs over the years. I've met, in passing or in curated situations or online or whatever. I've been in touch with a lot of people who are famous, rich, whatever. And the one thing that I think that this movie got right and showed also is that they just want love too. And they have insecurities like everybody else. Like, you know, people put them on a pedestal and they think, oh my goodness, this person would never like me. Well, you'd be surprised because they just want an authentic reaction. They don't want people using them. They don't want people coming to them, you know, trying to, you know, put me on and introduce me to this person or post me for clout and all that, you know, like nobody wants to be used like that, but they have their own insecurities. Like he was like, he felt like an imposter. He felt like, you know, a fake or that he wasn't that great. And, you know, she was there to encourage him like, yes, you are, you know, you got to have that person that's grounded that can let you know that this, you know, you're still a person, you're still a human being, and there, you still have to be loved too. And, and have, like a stable connection. The connection is what he was looking for. And he's not going to get that with everybody. Yeah. So that was, yeah, those are my thoughts on the idea of you. We're at like 40 minutes. What do you think? Do you want to go into tarot? I got just as much to say about that.
I mean, it's up to you. I mean, it's totally up to you.
We might as well break it here and come back, make this 40 minutes, and then come back with tarot.
Okay.
All right. Thank you all for watching and listening. We hope you enjoyed it. I can never tell who all is listening and whether you enjoy our guests or whether you enjoy us talking about films or hot topics or anything like that. So drop us a note in the DMs or on a comment online or with this. I think you can message us. You can send us voice notes or type in what you thought of the episode, or in our Facebook group, let us know what you think. Because we do this because we love it, but we still would like to know if you love it as much as we do. And now don't come over there telling us what we should be doing instead, you know, because we're going to do our own thing. We're
going to charge you for that.
We're going to be who we're going to be. I'm not saying, come on, I'm not asking you to tell us, critique us in the sense of, I don't like how you did that, or I don't like how you said that. I mean, give us constructively what you think, what you enjoyed about it. You know what I mean? Or what you didn't enjoy. Or whether you agreed with us regarding the movie, the idea of you, and watch it if you haven't. All right. Come back for part two or a whole nother episode. I'm just going to name the next one. All right. Bye.
Bye, y'all.